Welcome to the Space Show, Stuart.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
You've got a whole lot of little tiny things on the table. What are these?
So this is a collection of prototype satellites that I'm building. I'm actually building a pocket cube satellite, which is a tiny 5x5x5 centimetre cube.
These can't be satellites, surely?
Yep, just like their bigger brothers. They're built with the same electronics, but thanks to modern electronics and things like mobile phones, you can now scale down what was something that was huge into something that's in such a small package.
Now, how big is a normal satellite? Say, the commercial satellites, communication satellites, say, for example, or perhaps some of the main scientific ones?
So generally, your big commercial satellites are, things that cost millions of dollars, and they're probably about, 3 or 4 metres tall. They're huge things. And obviously, they're very capable because they need to work for a long time in space. But sometimes you don't need something to work for as long, so you can build it out of off-the-shelf electronics. So that's what I've done here.
So how long is the projected lifetime of the modern, communication satellite for commercial purposes?
So you're looking at something that's at least 10 years and potentially up to about 25 years is how they design the big commercial satellites. And so, to make something that's going to work in the harsh environment of space for 25 years requires, I guess, you need to spend a lot of money and have really specialist sort of electronics inside. But if you're making something that doesn't need to last that long, you don't have to use the same kind of electronics.
So if you're buying a domestic electronic product, say a DVD player or something like that, you're lucky if you get a 1 year warranty, perhaps 2 years at most.
Yeah, that's right. And the thing that I'm building, it's because of the nature of the environment in space, it's actually only going to last probably about one to year and a half. So I only need to make this last that long.
So what do they do?
So the one I'm building is actually an Earth imaging satellite, which is just a fancy way of saying it's a satellite with a camera on board and it's going to take photos of the Earth. So OzCube 1 has a 2-megapixel camera, so it's not quite as good as your mobile phone, but it uses similar sort of technology. And it's going to be pointing down over Australia, and the aim is to take photos of Australia with a satellite that was built in Australia.
From what altitude?
So I'm hoping to get deployed into orbit around 650 kilometres, and that will sort of allow me to sort of take pretty broad photos. You're not going to be able to pick out individual trees or anything like that, but you'll pretty get a good idea of the landscape below the satellite.
The original Landsat satellites, which were pioneered this sort of technology, had a ground resolution of 70 metres. That means the smallest thing you could see on the ground was 70 metres across, about almost the size of a football field. What would be the comparable resolution of your satellite?
In fact, that's actually at that 600 kilometre altitude, that will actually be the same resolution as what I can produce here.
Well, when NASA developed Landsat, it cost millions and millions of dollars. And you are developing it on, looks like it would only cost you a few hundred.
Well, that's right. And with modern electronics and consumer electronics is so prolific nowadays. We've got mobile phones, we've got DVD players, we've got computers, laptop computers. All these things combined mean that all these individual chips, these really integrated circuits, that are made in massive quantities. And because they're done in these massive quantities, they're made much more affordably. So that development of those, the expensive things long time ago have now contributed to being able to produce something that literally costs cents today.
The satellite that was first made here in Australia by an amateur group here at Melbourne University called Oscar Australis A, or Oscar 5, had antennae which were tape measures. Your satellite looks like it uses the same thing.
That's right. Tape measures happen to be the perfect material to self-deploy. So they'll maintain themselves nice and straight, which is the optimal pattern for your radio antenna. And as a plus, they're cheap and affordable, and they do the job. And they're available in hardware shops.
Now, it's easy to make a satellite, but very difficult to actually get it into space. How are you going to overcome that hurdle?
So there's a few hurdles to getting things into space. There's, I guess, the regulatory hurdle. You need approval before you actually get something into space. I need to make sure that the satellite itself is tested appropriately and is going to withstand that launch environment. So assuming I've got past all those hurdles, then there's the big expense of actually getting it on top of a rocket and launching into space. So that's the biggest cost for me. So I'm fundraising to try and get the funds to get the testing done and get the launch paid for.
And have you got a launch provider in mind at the moment, or even perhaps definitely lined up?
Not lined up yet, but I guess money talks, and until I get the fundraising, I'm not going to be signing any contracts. But at the moment, there's an Italian satellite, and this Italian satellite actually has the deployers for this type of small satellite. So this is a satellite that needs to go inside another satellite, and then that slightly bigger satellite, which is about dishwasher sized, that's called Unisat 7, and that satellite is going to be going on top of a Russian rocket early next year.
So Stuart, if someone wants to help you out and get your satellite into space, how do they go about doing it?
So I'm crowdsourcing funding via GoFundMe. So the project is gofundme.com/OzCube1. That's OzCube1.
Well, thank you very much. Well, good luck.
Thank you. I'll need it.